time now for the 12:15 news, brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft furniture. Today's WFIW WOKZ weather forecast calls for sunny skies with a high of 28, tonight partly cloudy with a low of 12. I'm Jeff Vaughn reporting the news. The Wayne County Health Department will hold a drive-through COVID-19 vaccination clinic tomorrow. It will run from 8:30 to 11 a.m., and people should go to the staging area at the Wayne County Fairgrounds by using the east entrance on West Main Street. Floral Hall will be open for restroom access, but people should be sure not to block the entrance or exit of any business along West Main. People should not go directly to the department, and officials will be on hand at the fairgrounds to monitor and direct traffic. This clinic is for all individuals in Phase 1B, but it does not include people under 65 with underlying health conditions. That group will be included to Phase 1B Part 2 on the 25th. Conditions include obesity, diabetes, pulmonary diseases, smoking, heart conditions, chronic kidney disease, cancer, solid organ transplants, sickle cell disease, pregnancy, or people with disabilities. Wayne County residents currently in Phase 1B should bring a driver's license and/or work ID to the clinic, and insurance cards if applicable. Vaccine vouchers will be distributed equal to the amount of vaccine available, and people will be directed by staff when it's their turn to go to the department for the vaccine. People can download and fill out the vaccine consent form from WCHDIL.com to save time, or it can be picked up at the department before the day of a clinic. More news next.
At the end of a hospital stay, families are often faced with difficult decisions about their loved ones needing skilled rehabilitation care. Regardless of where your loved one's hospital is, the Transitional Care Rehab Program at Hamilton Memorial Hospital can help. Our skilled rehab and nursing care can provide twice daily physical and occupational therapies, daily access to providers, and private bed and bathrooms, all right here close to your family's home. If you're faced with care decisions, ask your loved one's care planner about Hamilton Memorial Hospital Transitional Care Rehabilitation or call 643-5824.
You can buy more of what you want when you save on what you need. Save on meal ingredients by shopping Little Giant Grocery Outlet in Carmi. Little Giant's team of buyers are constantly scanning wholesalers, looking for pantry favorites and meal ingredients at astonishing savings just so you can shop confidently, knowing that you can come in anytime and find great deals from fresh cuts of meat and grocery items to deli, fresh produce, and frozen goods. See just how much more your dollar buys at Little Giant Grocery, Carmi, Illinois.
In other news, the Fairfield City Fire Department responded to a phone-in fire alarm at the old Airtech shipping building last night. The alarm was for moving water, and once on scene, firemen discovered a busted pipe. They were on scene for 30 to 45 minutes and shut the water off before turning the situation over to the key holder. Illinois State Police District 19 Commander Captain Nathan Douglas has announced the ISP will conduct occupant restraint enforcement patrols in Wayne, Edwards, and Wabash counties in March. The patrols allow state police to focus on safety belt and child safety seat laws. Illinois law requires all vehicle passengers, front and back, to buckle up. State police say safety belts are still some of the most effective safety devices in vehicles and are estimated to save nearly 14,000 lives each year. Half of occupants killed in traffic crashes were not properly buckled, and the purpose of the program is to increase occupant restraint compliance through education, child seat inspections, and enforcement. Applications are now available for scholarships through the Illinois Farm Bureau Rural Nurse Practitioner Scholarship Program. 15 $4,000 scholarships will be granted this year to Illinois residents who are registered nurses accepted or enrolled in an accredited nurse practitioner program. Students who receive scholarships agree to practice for 2 years in an approved rural area in Illinois, and funding for them is provided by the Rural Illinois Medical Student Assistance Program. Applications can be found at county farm bureaus across the state, on rimsap.com, or by writing Program Manager Donna Gallivan at P.O. Box 2901, Bloomington, Illinois, 61702-2901. Applications are due May 1st. A legislative commission has upheld new culturally responsible teaching standards. Pushed by the State Board of Education, the standards aim to better prepare teachers for a diverse classroom and to look at how their own biases may infect their instruction. The board's legislative affairs director, Amanda Elliott, says research shows students are more likely to succeed when they feel included and understood.
The standards are what excellent, experienced teachers in Illinois already do, but had to learn on their own or through trial and error over years. Our goal in proposing the standards is to help ensure that all educators are ready to teach diverse students on day one in the classroom.
Opponents say this will force political ideology on teachers. The new standards will take effect in fall 2025. FCHS, Fairfield 112, Jeff, Jasper, New Hope, and North Wayne schools are remote learning today and don't have in-person instruction. Wayne City Unit 100 has a remote planning day today for staff only, so no school for students. Edwards County schools have a traditional snow day, and all Clay County schools are closed. We received about 8 inches of snow at the station on Monday and another inch yesterday. We also received 5.5 inches last week. The last time we received a similar amount of snow in any month was December 2013, when we recorded 14.5 inches at the station. Teresa Robinson is the guest on our Community Connection candidate series this morning. She's running against Mike Dreith and Nate McGahey for Fairfield mayor, and she started working for the city 24 years ago before running for office. One item she believes is important is cleaning up the city, and she says there should be some sort of program to get young people involved in the community project. She also says the city should work on nurturing businesses already here instead of focusing solely on bringing in new stores.
I want to make sure that we take care of our small businesses that we have now. Take care of the people that are here now. And then take baby steps to get other things. The state of Illinois is in a bind. Everybody knows what the state of Illinois is. People are, you know, jumping through hoops to get out of the state of Illinois. It's hard to get businesses in. We'll do what we can. But there is no promises there either. I just think that our loyalty should be with the hometown people, you know. And I seen where one of the hometown tried to get a drive-through liquor store in, and they rejected that. Now they're wanting letting an outsider come in. And, you know, right or wrong, I don't agree with that. That's my opinion, and I'm going to stick with it.
She says Fairfield is good about coming together when there's a need, but she also says the city should come together all the time. Robinson sees flooding issues as a major problem that must be addressed, preferably by opening the reservoir again. As an Elm Street resident, she says she sees the issue firsthand. She also says she has worked for the city and knows what works and what doesn't.
The only thing I want people to realize is that I've lived here my whole life. I was raised here. I raised my son here. I've worked here. I will work hard for you. I realize that we're working for the taxpayers, and it's their money. And I think they need to know that I'm just common sense, blue-collar worker. I am what I am.
Early voting begins Thursday, and Election Day is April 6th. Reduced-rate lab testing from Fairfield Memorial Hospital's laboratory department will take place March 1st through the 20th by appointment only, as FMH's Dana Taylor and Holly Barrett explain.
They'll be offered at every site that we provide services, so that would be Cisney, Grayville, Fairfield, Carmi, and the Albin Draw site. They right. just need to schedule an appointment. You can go ahead and start scheduling now. We are taking those appointments.
And the number for that is the 618-847-8256, and that will get you connected with Jennifer, who can do that scheduling.
There is fasting that is required. And there will be the required screening and social distancing.
Appearing on the Community Connection last month, Barrett laid out the tests that will be offered.
We do a CBC, a CMP, we do a thyroid function test, a PSA, hemoglobin A1Cs, lipid panels, vitamin D test. So most routine labs that anyone would need, we do offer for that reduced rate.
A list of those tests can be found on our headlines page, and results will be mailed directly to a patient's home. In addition to weekdays on the 1st through the 20th, appointments will be available in Carmi on the 6th and the FMH Lab and Cisney Clinic on the 20th. The Grayville location will be available Tuesdays through Thursdays, as well as the 13th, and the Albion Lab Draw Station will be available only on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Social distancing requirements will be in effect, and attendees will have to go through screening stations and wear a mask at all times. Appointments at all locations and on all dates will be from 7 to 10 a.m. The Wayne County Health Department announced 2 new confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the past 2 days, 2 male children.
The county had 1,496 total cases. 20 were active and in isolation, and 51 people with lab-confirmed cases had passed away. The department also announced 2 positive rapid antigen tests, bringing its probable case total to 156. 7 of those cases were in isolation and were being actively contact traced. Edwards County announced 8 new cases from the 11th through Wednesday and sat at 530. It also announced an additional COVID-related death, the county's 10th. Hamilton County added 1 case and sat at 754. The State Department of Public Health announced 1,966 new confirmed and probable cases of COVID-19 yesterday and 72 additional deaths. Statewide totals sat at 1,168,683 cases and 20,129 deaths. The preliminary statewide case positivity rate for February 11th through the 17th was 2.7%. The southern region had a rate of 2.4% on the 15th, down from 2.7% on the 14th. Former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan announced yesterday he will resign his seat in the House at the end of the month. Madigan has held a seat in the 22nd District for 50 years, and in his retirement statement, he said it was an honor to serve the people of Illinois. He also took aim at, quote, vicious attacks by people who sought to diminish his many achievements. Governor J.B. Pritzker wished him well, but he was asked if Madigan leaving was a good thing in light of the federal bribery investigation into ComEd that implicated Madigan.
The innuendo, the accusations that exist that are around things like that are not good. Those of us who serve in public office, who serve with integrity, you know, all of those kinds of accusations and investigations unfortunately reflect poorly on public service. And I really believe it's our job to tell the truth, to be honest, to do the right thing, to serve with integrity. And I continue to try to do that every single day.
Madigan's term as the longest-serving leader in state or federal government ended last month when Chris Welch replaced him as speaker. Welch is seen as a Madigan loyalist, and he thanked Madigan for his, quote, sincere and meaningful contributions to the state. He said Madigan provided strong, sustained Democratic leadership in Springfield, and union presidents also lauded his work. A member of the Cook County Democratic Party, Madigan has the largest share of the weighted vote that will decide who replaces him. Illinois Republicans say Governor Pritzker's budget proposal will slow job growth and hurt businesses. State Representative Adam Niemerg says the plan does nothing to relieve the strain on taxpayers, and it effectively increases taxes on businesses.
This is not a balanced budget. The additional revenue is achieved through cutting tax credits, or so-called tax loopholes, as the governor put it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is nothing more than a tax increase on our businesses and will only contribute to the mass exodus from Illinois and further hinder recovery from COVID-19. In short, this budget does nothing to alleviate the strain on middle-class taxpayers, mom-and-pop retailers, and the general public of Illinois. The governor calls us carnival barkers. Well, he's running the carnival, and Illinois deserves better.
Representative Patrick Windhorst said the governor is going back on a promise he made in the past.
Economic growth is key to reversing our state's declining population and solving our long-term fiscal challenges. The governor's proposed budget eliminates economic reforms and business incentives that spur economic growth. The proposed budget relies on $900 million tax increases on small businesses at a time when they can least afford it. It also relies on federal money that may or may not come. The governor should work with the General Assembly to craft a truly balanced budget instead of going back on his word and the agreement he made in the FY20 budget.
Governor Pritzker has called on the GOP to propose their own list of budget cuts to help the state make ends meet. That's the news. Area deaths next.
Hello, this is John Hustleton at the Hustleton Meredith Funeral Home in Sisney. Is pre-planning your funeral worthwhile? Research shows that making funeral pre-arrangements is worthwhile. You make your wishes known in advance, so difficult decisions won't have to be made at the time of death. These decisions can all be made in a comfortable, relaxed atmosphere. Please call John Hustleton or Daniel Fopay at the Hustleton Meredith Funeral Home for an appointment at 618-673-2131.
can be normal to have trouble falling or staying asleep, but chronic sleeplessness can be a serious health issue. If you are experiencing sleep disorders such as sleep apnea, insomnia, restless leg syndrome, or you simply need a CPAP follow-up appointment, our sleep clinic specialists are now seeing patients in Fairfield. Physician assistant Alicia Kinsolving will be working with Dr. S.B. Johnny to help you find the way back to better sleep. Wabash General Hospital Sleep Clinic, 209 Northwest 11th Street in Fairfield. Call 618-842-4288 to schedule an appointment.
Currently in Fairfield, it's 31. It's time now to check the latest stock market numbers brought to you by Andrew Diesel, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, located at 101 East Delaware Suite A in Fairfield. The Dow was at 31,551, up 57 points. The NASDAQ is at 13,872, up 7. March crude oil is at $59.21. That is down $1.31. This is Derek Dunn reporting for WFIW News.
Local and area deaths brought to you by Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nails Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. 21-year-old Fairfield resident Lauren K. Vaughn died on Saturday. Lauren Vaughn is survived by her mother Leslie Bowles, father Doug Scott, brothers Justin, Isaac, DJ, TJ, and Michael, one uncle, and many nieces, nephews, and cousins. Services for Lauren Vaughn will be held at 1 p.m. on Monday at Pleasant Grove Cemetery. Visitation will be from 10 to service time at Nail's Funeral Home. 86-year-old McLeansboro resident Lois Emmajine McFarland died on Thursday. Lois McFarland is survived by 5 children, 13 grandchildren, 21 great-grandchildren, and 3 nieces. Services for Lois McFarland will be held at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning at Pleasant Valley Baptist Church. Visitation will be from 10 to service time, and burial will be in the church cemetery. Sloan Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. Bentley Allen was born and died last Saturday. Bentley Allen is survived by his mother Kaylee Alvis, 3 grandparents, siblings Carter and Mia, 3 aunts, and 1 uncle. Services for Bentley Allen will be held tomorrow at 1 o'clock at Olive Branch Baptist Church. Visitation will be from noon to service time. Richardson Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. 83-year-old Golden Gate resident Alice Maxine Burkett died on Monday. Maxine Burkett is survived by children Steve, Mark, Susan, David, and Elaine, 6 grandchildren, 5 great-grandchildren, and siblings Jesse and Jerry. Per her request, Maxine Burkett was cremated, and burial will be at a later date. Nails Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. And a reminder, our obituaries are updated regularly at WFIWradio.com. I'm Jeff Vaughn reporting.
During these uncertain health-related times, Asbury & Associates is taking every precaution to make sure you and your loved ones are safe. Here's Dr. David Asbury.
We've lowered our volume in our office to make sure that we have appropriate separation and social distancing, and we try to keep up on the CDC guidelines to ensure that we're keeping the office as safe as we can. We're simply going to treat this as no different as part of our normal daily hygiene, and we'll all make it through this.
Asbury & Associates, with 4 offices to serve you. 618-244-4800.
Your classic hits, WFIW 104.9 forecast for today. Sunny skies. We'll have a high today around 28. It'll be partly cloudy tonight. We're expecting a low around 12. And then partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Tomorrow's high will be around 35. The outlook for Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Rain is likely on Sunday. Sunday's high will be around 45 with a low of 30. Partly sunny skies on Monday. Monday will have a high of 40 with a low of 32, and then sunny skies on Tuesday. Tuesday will have a high of 55 with a low around 38.